This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute, one of the leading healthcare policy organizations in the nation. It's located just outside the nation's capital. On Wednesday, we saw Vice President Joe Biden announce that there had been a deal struck with the hospitals across the country to save $155 billion, assuming the healthcare reform plan goes forward. So what exactly does that mean? How would that happen? And is it even true? Grace Marie, thanks so much for being with us.
Always a pleasure, Greg. Thank you.
We keep seeing these deals getting struck. There was one not too long ago with the pharmaceutical industry, which we'll talk about in just a moment because that is making news of its own right now. But this deal with the hospital that would allegedly save $155 billion, what exactly would that mean? How would that happen?
Well, everybody is wanting a seat at the table. They want to make sure that they're part of these negotiations. They believe that health reform is inevitable and that the legislation is going to be passed, and they want to make sure their industry is represented, which is a really legitimate thing to do. But many of them have a seat at the table that increasingly looks like a trap door. They're there to negotiate away future payments to their industries. And unfortunately, many of those payments are not something that really is going to help save taxpayers money with this $1 to $2 to even $3 trillion price tag on the legislation that is moving through Congress. So the industries are there at the table. These negotiations are very delicate, saying that we'll allow you, for example, to cut back on the payments the federal government makes to compensate hospitals for treating people who don't have health insurance and can't pay their bills. We're going to take back some of that money because we believe more people will have health insurance. Well, in Massachusetts, that's not worked out real well. The hospitals have given up some of that money, but they're actually seeing more people show up in hospital emergency rooms, many of them still without insurance. And so they're getting squeezed. They're getting less money to compensate for those patients, and yet they're seeing more of them because more people are finding they can't find a private physician and therefore show up in hospital emergency rooms. So it's a very risky proposition to be able to deal with the federal government for future promises that may or may not be kept.
Grace Marie, this legislation is obviously in flux. We haven't seen a final version in either chamber of Congress yet, but from what you've been able to glean, are any of these entities who have struck deals with the government about reducing government payments to them seeing changes to the legislation that benefits them in any way?
Well, it's reducing the rate of increase in government payments over time. That's generally in Washington lingo considered to be a cut. But the deal really is it's a very difficult one because they're talking about an entirely different playing field. They want to change the rules of the game for how this one-sixth of our economy that's represented by the health sector works. So it's all very speculative. And what happens when these organizations are at the table making all these deals with the White House, then they go back to their members, and the members say, wait a minute, this to me looks like a promise, maybe an IOU like California's now offering instead of real payments. Is this going to allow us to actually pay the bills? Is this going to allow us to pay our staff, to buy the equipment that we need, to meet our bond payments? There is a lot of concern among people in the industry who are going to be the ones on the front lines of these deals of whether or not they're going to actually be able to even stay even with the negotiations that are being done.
We're talking with Grace Marie Turner of the Galen Institute. And Grace Marie, we mentioned it in passing at the beginning, and that's that there's some news in connection with a previous deal the White House thought it had struck with the pharmaceutical industry, which I believe was to the tune of about $80 billion. What's happening there?
Well, what happened is the pharmaceutical industry is once again trying to have a seat at the table, and they said, we will do our part to reduce health spending over the next 10 years by $80 billion. Part of that was by providing more discounts for seniors who are in the so-called donut hole in their Medicare prescription drug benefit, this gap in coverage between the routine expenses and the really high catastrophic expenses, to say, well, we'll help them fill that gap. Well, that's a very good thing to do, but that's not savings that's going to help pay for health insurance for new people that are added to the government rolls through Medicaid, for example. So it can be added to the savings for the whole healthcare system, but it's not going to help pay for the health reform agenda that Congress is considering. And that deal now looks like it's actually fallen through anyway, because part of it was that the government said, well, if you agree to fill the donut hole, help people with their drug expenses, that we will not have you pay us a kickback, which is really what a rebate is, on Medicare, on these Medicare prescription drug programs, like you currently do on Medicaid, the program for the poor. So it's all very intricate, but basically the government is reneging on its deal that if you give us this help for seniors, then we won't hit you with a basically higher tax on your products on the other end. And now the government's saying, well, the House is saying, we don't like that deal. We want to tax you more, but we still want you to give back the lowering cost drugs for seniors. And the industry is saying, well, we can't do that if you're also going to tax us on the other side. That dries up the money that we have to pay for research for new drugs. And so that deal may be off the table. The Hospital Association had a lot of feedback from its members from an earlier deal when they were going to be giving back even more money. So what we're seeing is this is a very, very fragile coalition that falls apart. It's a house of cards. You pull one card out and the whole thing is collapsing. I frankly think that the White House is having a lot of trouble holding all this together. The president has said that this bill has to be paid for. We are going to figure out how to raise taxes or cut spending in order to pay for health reform. The Congressional Budget Office today testified on Capitol Hill that a lot of the savings that they're promising simply are not going to materialize, and that the bill that is before the Health, Education, Labor, Pensions Committee is actually going to increase costs of the federal government dramatically. So how they put all these promises together, especially the assurances to the American people that they're going to be able to keep the coverage that they have now if they like it, and the system is even going to be there to support private health insurance, are increasingly coming into question. So I think that they are having a very difficult time holding this together. I think it's increasingly unlikely that they will get legislation through both houses of Congress before they go away on their August recess, and that has for a long time been their goal.
Last question before we let you go, Grace Marie, and in describing the hospital system and describing the pharmaceutical saving system here, you've pointed out that it's not really any sort of benefit to the taxpayer, yet we hear from the administration that in the long term, and maybe even the not to even in the short term to some extent, the health care reform is actually going to help reduce the deficit. Is there any reasonable scenario in which that would actually be the case?
Well, the director of the Congressional Budget Office just today finished testifying before the Senate Health Committee, and he, I'm quoting now, said, this bill, the Kennedy-Dodd bill, will add substantially to the long-term spending burden for health care for the federal government. If the bill arrives from Congress that is not controlling costs, this is not a bill I can support, President Obama has said. So how are they going to reconcile that? Where they've got the Congressional Budget Office, which is the final authority on spending, saying that this will increase substantially long-term spending for health care for the federal government, and Obama saying that I can't support a bill that doesn't control costs. So you tell me how they reconcile that. I think they're in a very, very difficult position in trying to keep the promises that they've made to the American people.
Grace Marie, it's going to be fascinating to watch. Thanks, as always, for your time.
Thank you, Greg.
Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.